he broke free. At the door, though, he sagged and just stared out. "Bastards," he said. "Fucking Jap bastards." Chapter 18. Oswiecim, Poland, 7 December, 1941. While the changeling was enjoying the hospitality of the Japanese, the chameleon was helping to oversee the construction of Birkenau, a new extermination camp 4 kilometers from Auschwitz. He was about to meet his soulmate, Josef Mengele, for the second time. The chameleon had a good instinct for the winds of war, and so had moved to Germany in 1937 and took the identity of a young right-wing doctor in Frankfurt. He was a perfect Aryan, blonde and blue-eyed and athletic. In 1938, he enlisted in the Nazi Schutzstaffel, the SS Black Shirts, where he first met Mengele, also a young doctor. The randomness of war separated them, though. Mengele served as a medical officer in France and Russia, where he was wounded and decorated. The chameleon wanted to be in on the invasion of Poland, where he operated on a lot of people but saw no action to speak of. In 1939, the chameleon found a position more amenable to his talents. He was deployed to Brandenburg for Action T4, the Nazi euthanasia project. People who had physical deformities, mental retardation, epilepsy, senile disorders, and a host of other conditions that made them inferior to the Aryan ideal were allowed mercy killing. In other places, this was done by more or less painless injections. In Brandenburg, they pioneered the use of the gas chamber disguised as a shower room. Hitler terminated Action T4 in August of 1941 because of public outcry after an influential bishop disclosed the truth of the project in a broadcast sermon. The chameleon was transferred to Auschwitz, where his expertise with gas chambers was valued, as well as his prior service in Poland. He didn't like Poland at all. Brandenburg was a civilized university town with sophisticated food and drink and vice. Auschwitz had nothing but subhumans destined for rightful extermination. Granted, the difference between human and subhuman was moot to him. The chameleon was pleased when, in May 1943, his old acquaintance from Frankfurt was assigned, by Himmler no less, to be chief women's doctor, and then was appointed chief doctor for both Auschwitz and Birkenau. The chameleon became one of Mengele's assistant surgeons. By this time, the final solution was in full swing. Boxcars arriving regularly, crowded with miserable castouts, gypsies, communists, homosexuals, and mostly Jews. Himmler had ordered Birkenau built with a capacity for 100,000 prisoners, more than 3 times the size of Auschwitz proper. Its gas chambers and crematoria could destroy 1,500 people in one day. It was all terror and chaos, and Mengele loved it. One of the duties that doctors shared was to be choosers. Who stood in front of the doors when the boxcars were opened, and on the basis of visual inspection ordered people to go to the right for the work camp, or the left for extermination. A lot of the doctors detested this detail, but Mengele loved it. He even showed up to watch when it wasn't his turn, an arresting sight in his immaculate uniform, mirror-bright boots, white gloves, and riding crop. One reason he liked to observe the crowds staggering out of the boxcars was to make sure that no twins were separated or sent to extermination before he could make use of them. Twins comprised his main area of research, and the chameleon helped him in this quest for knowledge. Mengele's interest was twofold. He wondered whether there might be some way to induce properly Aryan women to have twins, so the master race could grow at twice the usual rate. And he also did simple environmental experiments that were a perversion of nature versus nurture. He would leave one twin alone while he stressed the other one to death with starvation, poison, asphyxiation, mutilation, or whatever occurred to him. And then, after killing the control twin as well, usually with an injection of phenol to the heart, he and his assistants, including the chameleon, would conduct parallel autopsies, noting internal changes that might be related to the cause of death. It was not exact science, and perhaps the motivation for it had little to do